Please turn our Bibles to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, as we consider this topic, teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. God willing, later today we will be having our annual congregation meeting. Of course, we are having this meeting partly because it is a requirement that of the government that there must be an annual congregation meeting for every society. But at the same time, the annual congregation meeting is a very useful meeting whereby we can reflect and take stock of the things that we have done for the past year, that we can examine our works and see whether it is consistent with what pleases God. And also it gives an opportunity for the leadership of the church, right, to inform everyone of what may be the Lord's hand in leading us ahead, right, to do things for His glory. And so the annual congregation meeting is not just a mechanical exercise or a routine. I hope that everyone would treat this annual congregation meeting with utmost seriousness, and yet with good cheer as we seek to remember how the Lord has led us all the way. And there must also be this expectation in our hearts that in the coming years, as long as the Lord tarries, that we want to continue to do our best for our Master to uphold His precious word and name. So, you may ask then, how can we be successful for the Lord as a congregation and also individually in our lives? How can we be successful for Christ? Well, we can be successful for Christ if we follow this one recipe. And this one recipe is simply this. O Lord, teach me thy way. I want to follow your way, not my way. I want to be forever your student and you be the teacher. And I know that when I abide in thy teachings, when I follow your guiding hand, you will lead me to be successful in doing your will and to magnify thy word. And that is exactly the heart of David down here. And when he uttered these words, right, when he uttered his desire for the Lord to teach him his way, right, to teach the right, for the Lord to teach him his way to him. Please understand that David was not undergoing a life of comfort. In fact, David had many enemies and the enemies were hunting him down. They want him dead. They want him destroyed. He felt very boxed in. And yet in the midst of such difficult circumstances, in the midst of such persecutions, he did not say, oh, let me return to my enemies the evil hand which I have received from them. They treat me badly, and so therefore I will adopt the same tactics against them. Neither did he say, oh, let me use my own wisdom, my own strength in order to solve this current predicament that I am in. Oh, that would be the way of the world, isn't it? The way of the world is, oh, the enemies come against me. Let me think how best I am by my own thoughts to stop all these things from happening. And sometimes these people will try to annihilate their enemies with a strong hand. And sometimes the way may be, oh, compromise, let's sit down, let's talk peace. You want this, I want this. Okay, so let's come to a middle point and let's settle it, and then let us no longer be enemies. But that was not how David approached the entire situation. In the midst of such trials and tribulations, he says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That is what he says in verse 1, unto thee. The only person that I will trust in such a situation, the only person in whom I will flee to for refuge, to be my rock, to be my shelter in the midst of this storm, is you, O God. For you are my personal God, you are the Almighty God, and you are, must be the one to reign over my entire situation. I want you to show me your way. I want you to make it plain for me. I want to be your student, and I want you to teach me exactly how I can get out of this current situation. And even if it may be that my entire life I will have to face with all these enemies, at least teach me how I may live pleasing in your sight in the midst of such people. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Why? Because you are the God of my salvation. You are the God that delivered me from my sins, and you must be the God that delivered me from my enemies. And so therefore, do I wait all the day for you to teach me and show me your way. And that also must be how we approach our life here on this earth. The surest way of failure would be to do things according to our own intellect. That will be the surest way. And sometimes these thoughts that occur to us may even seem very, very logical. Oh, this seems like the right thing to do. And then we do it. But do not forget that many things may seem right in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of the Lord, it is very, very wrong. David was not like this. We, as God's people, also cannot be like this. Whether be it in our individual lives, wherever the Lord has placed us, where we are living, we cannot just try to do things without consideration of the Holy Scriptures. And so, as a church also, it is the same. When we come for ACM, and then when we have our meeting, let us check and let us ponder whether or not each and every one of the programs that we have conducted, whether or not it is according to the ways of the Lord. Whether it is done in the Spirit also, which pleases Him. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Why must we come to the Lord? Right? Firstly, in verse 8, we see the teacher in focus. Who is this teacher that we must turn to? Why is this teacher so qualified? Well, because unlike all the other teachers of the world who are imperfect, who are full of flaws, the Lord is not like them. The Lord here is described as good and upright. Ah, good. What a description of the Lord, isn't it? Good. And we know, Lord, in the world there is no one good but God. And consider who we are. Right, that is very important. In fact, that will be the next thing that we will see later on. But here, just to mention, in our understanding of the word good, consider who we are. We are all sinners, isn't it? Every one of us is a sinner. And of course, as sinners, we cannot be good. And so, if we truly want to be taught, then we need somebody who is good to teach us, and who then is most suitable to teach us. None other than God Himself, who is good. And when we say that the Lord is good, what we mean is that there is nothing bad in Him, nothing that is evil, nothing that is wicked. He is forever good in his ways and in his thoughts. This is important because, well, if you say that, for example, God is omnipotent, right, all-powerful, but then if this omnipotent God, this omnipresent God, this omniscient God is not a good God, but he is a bad God. And he do all these things for evil and wickedness. Well, we are most finished, isn't it? Most finished. If at any one point of time he sees us from being good, it's over from us. But how thankful we are that this God is forever good. His decrees are good, unpolluted from sin. And therefore, most suitable, most qualified, right, to be our teacher. And here, this aspect, the aspect of goodness that is highlighted to us down here is the word upright. Upright as opposed to crooked. When you talk about sinners, right, the ways of sinners are most perverse, most crooked, isn't it? Consider the way of truth. Well, the way of truth is a straight path. The way of sinners will always diverge from this path. Any way but straight. They will turn left, they will turn right, they will go up, they will go down, they will not want to walk straight. Sometimes they will walk, right, sinners will walk in curves. That straight way of truth, no. They will not want to walk. But not the Lord. The Lord is consistently upright. Right? All his ways is truth. His word is truth. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is always truthful. There is no lie in him, and therefore he is always upright. And you need, right, obviously, if you are a person that is most crooked and perverse in your ways, and this is the situation that needs to be corrected. You must find someone that is most opposite from you, isn't it? To be able to teach you what you do not know. And if this person is just as wicked and perverse as you, then how can that particular person be your teacher? He is most unqualified to be your teacher. And then you look at everybody who is present in this world. I am a sinner, and so therefore I need somebody who is without sin to guide me. Are you without sin? Are you without sin? Are you without sin? And you will realize that in the end, there is nobody qualified to be that perfect teacher but God himself. God himself must be that teacher. And he himself, being good and upright, when he beholds sinners in this world, it is in his nature, it's in his character that, okay, all these sinners, I must teach them. I must point them to the way that is right. I must point them to the way that is straight. I must point them to the way that is correct, which is consistent with my character, which is consistent with my nature, with my attributes. So therefore, that one perfect teacher that we can surely go to and ask for learning, the best teacher would be none other than the Lord himself. And of course, where does the Lord teach us all these good things, all these right things? It would be none other than in God's word itself, isn't it? This book that lies in front of us, this book that we hold in our hands, yes, this will be the book that will teach us. This will be the book that will instruct us. This will be the book that will correct us. And so I certainly hope that when it comes to this book, the Bible, Yes, it's not just something that we bring on Sunday for show, or put on the bookshelf just to decorate the house. I must look like a learned man, so I must have a few books, and including and among these books, it must include the Bible, because the Bible is one of the classic literatures in the world, and so therefore you have the Bible down there. Also to tell everybody, I am a religious man. No, I hope that is not the reason why you have your Bibles upon the shelves, and that the Bible will collect dust from Monday to Saturday, and then on Sunday blow the dust, and then after that come to church, flip the Bible, read, and after that put it back again. Then what do you do for the rest of the days? The rest of the days you must listen to somebody, right? And who do you listen to? Rather than listen to the voice of this perfect teacher who is good and upright, we listen to teachers who are crooked and perverse, right? The voices that are out there in the world. And mind you, these voices, they can sound very persuasive. And we hear these things and they say, sounds good, actually very evil. And contrary to God's word. Remember, when we talk about good, the very definition of good must be what? Must be in God himself. Right? What is good? Right? God and his word. All these things, they are contrary to God's word. And then we hear in, we let all these things pollute us. We watch all these shows, we hear all these things on the radio, we read all these things on the internet, we hear the conversations from our colleagues. And instead of letting the word of God renew us from day to day, we let all these things pollute us and divert us from the way. Then who then is your teacher? Your teacher become the world. No longer is it God. And that is very bad. And so personally, ourselves, please make sure first you are under the right teacher. The teacher must be God. And what it means also, therefore, that it's important every day that you read the scriptures and read it devotionately. Your attitude approaching the scriptures will be important, as we will see later on. Read it devotionally, asking the Lord to show you his way. You must have the kind of heart that says, I cannot do without God's instruction. This word is crooked and perverse enough. I want to walk in the straight way. Where do I know the straight way? The straight way is in God's word. And it's by God's word that man shall live. So therefore, let me come to God's word and read and study. That must be our heart. Sometimes when we look at our own lives as well as the lives of others, we do worry. And we do not want to hide this from all of you. But we do worry for some of you. Because when we look at the certain decisions which are made, when we look at the things that may be posted on social media, the conversation that we make with one another, and if this is a conversation we make among Christians, and we tend to already be on our best behavior when we talk to one another, then what more when we go out there in the world, and then we... The tendency for us is to become unguarded when we talk with the people in the world. And yet even in our conversations with one another, there are these worldly influences that come in, which are not the teachings of the perfect teacher, the good and upright one. All these things, we must be very sensitive to it. And ask God, show us what I should not be doing. Reveal all my ungodly thoughts, all my ungodly affections. and remove them. That must be the kind of heart that we have. So please, firstly, understand who is the teacher. There's only one that is qualified. And the one that is qualified is none other than God. And how does He teach us? Well, through His Word. Through His Word. So firstly, come to His Word. Come to this teacher. Then the rest of the verses that we see here in verses 9 to 13 will talk about the student. Who is the student in that the Lord will teach? And we will realize some things about this student. Right? In fact, two things about this student. Number one, right, this student is described in the scriptures as one who is meek. And one who is meek, right, down here will mean one that is of that is lowly in mind and in disposition. In other words, he is a person who is humble before the Lord. And that is exactly what we see about David down here, isn't it? Because a proud man will be one that is full of his ways. A proud man wouldn't want to be told that his ways are wrong. He wouldn't want to acknowledge it. And even if he acknowledged that his ways are wrong, he wouldn't want to change. But that is not whom David is, right? Whom David was. David was, right, as the scripture says, a man after God's own heart. And as a man after God's own heart, you realize that whenever he was pointed out, when he was pointed by God, that in this particular area of his life, something is wrong, he would very quickly want to repent from it and then turn back to God. And that is exactly what we see down here. Right? You look at, firstly, verse 11. Verse 11, the Bible here says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Pardon my iniquity. In other words, I admit that I have sinned against you, against thee, and thee only have I sinned. And I know that there are many areas of my life that is not right. There are still a lot of things that I can learn. And so, Lord, I confess that of all the sinners of this world, I am the greatest sinner. So therefore, Lord, would you therefore not pardon me? Would you therefore not pardon me? This is the saying of a man who is broken in spirit, who is devoid of any pride on himself. He knows that he is nothing before God. And so therefore, he lays out his heart before the Lord and cries out for mercy. Mercy, O Lord, mercy, O Lord, wash me white as snow. And the reason why he says this is not even for himself. Look at what he says in verse 11. For thy name's sake, for thy name, O Lord, you are the covenant-keeping God. And so I know that you are faithful to all your promises. It is for your name. Your name would represent everything that you are. I want your name to be glorified. And so therefore, for your glory's sake, O Lord, will you therefore not pardon me? And through me, show how you can use a person that is most broken and contrite in spirit, one whom the world would reject, and yet you can use it to be a mighty instrument in your hand to glorify thy name. Oh, do such a work in me, O Lord, do such a work in me. That must be the cry of David. And that must also be a cry. That is what it means to be meek, oh, dear friends. To be meek, to be humble. Sadly, we live in a world whereby the concept of humility is so twisted. We seem to think of humility simply as somebody who looks very quiet, does not talk very much, and so therefore, if a person looks quiet, does not talk very much, sounds gentle, and that person therefore must be humble. But sometimes the gentlest people, when they open up their mouth, they open their mouth, or when they truly take action against something, you will realize that they can be very, very fierce and very, very wicked. But we say that these people, they are humble. No. Remember, humility is always measured with respect to a person's submission before God and His Word. Yeah, he is a person who knows, firstly, that he is nothing before God, nothing before man. And then he comes to God and says, Yeah, Lord, I must decrease. You must increase. Please exalt your own name. And it is to such a person, one who is of humble heart, that the Bible seer says he will guide in judgment. He will be somebody, right? The meek will be somebody because he will put on this mind of Christ in him that will be able to discern the workings of the Lord in his life. He will not be blind to it. A person who is proud, even when the Lord comes and then chastise him, even when the Lord put obstacles in his way, he may not be able to see it. He may still think that, oh no, this is just something that happens by chance. Never mind, I can overcome all these things. I will do it my way. Yeah, actually, the song that is most dangerous is the song that is sung in the Visa card advertisement. Now, because of World Cup, they keep playing it. Visa, right? I did it my way, right? Dangerous song. Please, never learn that song. I did it my way. It's a song of failure. It cannot be your way. It must be the Lord's way. And then being full of his ways, even when something contrary is placed before his eyes, the Lord has clearly indicated a different path. He will not be able to see it. That's exactly how the children of Israel and Judah were like. God willing, very soon we will have our Sunday school and we will see it. They are so blind to the workings of the Lord. They were eating, they were making merry, they were drinking. It was so involved in the things of the world. They were so involved in partying that when it comes to the Lord chastising them, sending an earthquake in the midst of them, sending soldiers to raid them, they still do not know that it's the Lord speaking to them. Hey, wake up from your slumber. They could not see. But for the meek, it is very, very different. When he sees such judgments by the Lord, when he sees such doings in everyday life, the wonderful provisions of God, he will recognize that it is God's hand. He will recognize that God is with him, leading him each step of the way. And he will love it and he will submit himself to it. And so therefore, the Bible here says, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Simply put, it's this. It will be the three rules in which Calvin will state for anybody who wants to know theology. You want to be a good student of the Lord? Number one, humility. Number two, humility. Number three, humility. Always humble yourself before the Lord. Because once you do not humble yourself before the Lord, you know what you are saying, isn't it? You are trying to say that you are wiser than the Lord. You are trying to say that the Lord is bad and you are good. You are trying to say that the Lord is crooked and you are upright. And that is not the case, my dear friends. That is not the case. You know full well that the ways of the Lord are higher than our ways. You know full well that the thoughts of the Lord are higher than our thoughts. Why then would you not want to bow down before him and acknowledge that you are nothing and ask him to lead you? Because if you do so, the promise of the Lord down here is that the meek he will teach his way. And what are his ways? Well, the Bible here says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant. The meek will be able to see that when the Lord works with them in his life, guiding them each step of the way, that it is part of the Lord's mercy. In other words, the Lord have not dealt with us after our iniquities. And David could see in his life, oh, all these enemies that come about me, actually, I truly deserve it because I am a person that is full of iniquity. And so therefore, for every day which the Lord preserves me and keeps me alive and prevents the hands of my enemies from having a foothold in my daily goings, that is actually the Lord's mercies. And moreover, at the end of it, when my life here on earth is over, I know where I am going. As a sinner, I know I deserve the lake of fire. I know I deserve it. But because the Lord has been so merciful to me to send his only begotten Son, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for my sin, and then he has also granted me the faith to believe in him, to repent of my sins and to believe in him, Now I have Jesus Christ as my peace. And that is something that is most unmerited. I deserve the lake of fire, but what do I have right now? Oh, I have eternal life given to me. I have a place now in the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, the Lord's mercies, how rich they are, isn't it? Yes, the meek will be able to see this. If you are proud, you will think, oh, I deserve a place in heaven. If there's anybody that deserves to go to heaven, it would be me. But that would be how the Pharisees taught, isn't it? No wonder the Pharisees couldn't understand whatever Jesus Christ was teaching them. They could not understand because they had such a heart. Look at that publican. I am not like that man, O Lord. I give my tithes, I fast. In the end, was this Pharisee justified before God? No. Many of the Pharisees, they had such a heart. They were not meek before God. They were not humble. They think that they are somebody. That we will be the first to enter heaven. And that is the reason why they can never, never, never discern the ways of the Lord. But those who are humble, the Lord opens their eyes. Many, and the scripture says, well, many of those who are poor, who are nobodies in the world, well, the Lord find it pleasing to save them. They're not the so-called clever, intellectual, wise ones. They are out there in society, and yet the Lord granted them the eyes to see. And when their eyes are open, they saw, oh, how rich the mercies of God are towards us. And they will also be able to see that all the paths of the Lord, they are truth, right? It leads to truth. Yes, there is no falsehood in God's word. God's word is perfect. All his ways of dealing are right. This is very different from the world. The world will call evil good and good evil. Right, true? But sadly, in the world of Christianity, that is what is fast becoming. When good things are preached and taught, they will say that this evil, oh, how can these things be taught in to the congregation? Oh, reject. Oh, this part of God's word is no good. We do not want to talk about it. Some will even go to the extent to say the Bible is hate literature or the Bible has mistakes. And so when it comes to God's word, and then it's declared, oh, the way of the Lord is perfect. They come and then they say, oh, how can you be so proud to teach that a perfect God must give us a perfect Bible? That is a statement that I've heard personally myself. I can never forget. It was in Sunday school. It was proclaimed to a large congregation. How can we be so proud to believe that a perfect God must give us a perfect Bible? And so to them, some of the ways of the Lord, right, lead to what? Lead to evil, must be rejected. But for a Christian that is truly of a humble spirit, well, he just simply comes to God's way and says, Lord, this is your word, and I know that your word is truth, and so therefore I receive it as my own. I will not reject anything. I just simply receive it, and I just simply keep it. Right? That's what it says down here. I will keep your covenant. I will keep your testimonies. Yes, whatever you talk about in history, about your dealings with men, I will keep all these lessons, all these principles. And with regards to your statutes, your commandments, yes, I will obey them. Yes, that's what it means to keep. Right? Right, the keep here has the understanding of protect. Yes, so you will defend all these things, but more importantly, you defend it by what? By obeying it in your life. That is what a humble person is. In the end, what is a humble person? A humble person is one who simply submits and obeys God's word. That's it. That's it. And the person, when he obeys, right, God will continue to show him his ways, to teach him, and he will continue to grow. In fact, that same concept is also found in verse 12, where we learn another aspect of the person who is the student of the Lord. Who is the man which the Lord will teach? Well, verse 12 says, well, the man that I will teach is the man that feareth me. Ah, feareth the Lord. And when we say that a man fears the Lord, we mean that, well, he has this reverence from God and his word. And this must come firstly from what? Well, firstly from an acknowledgement, and not just an acknowledgement, but rather a deep understanding of whom God is. Yes, this understanding is not something that is theoretical. It's something that is truly of the heart. I truly know who God is. Just now, during the sharing was mentioned, God is great. Yes, indeed, God is great. But do you know exactly what he means by God is great? You know, this is something that we can just ponder from day to day. Yes, it is a truth that is so simple to understand. And yet, the implications behind it, the fullness of it, is something that we will take an entire lifetime to learn. In fact, eternity to learn, isn't it? Is that not true? What do we mean by God is great? Great in his might. Oh, God is almighty, all-powerful. What do we mean by he is all-powerful? What can he do? Oh, the Bible tells us that this God who is all-powerful is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think. In other words, above our greatest imaginations, that he can also do. And this must not be theory in my life. This must be something that truly sinks in the heart. This is the God that I know. This is the God in which I've experienced. I have an intimate relationship with. God is great in holiness. Oh, what does it mean by God is holy? Oh, there is no sin in him. And if there is no sin in him, what is the implication for me in my life? Oh, that I'm able to now go to his throne of grace to seek him in prayer. Oh, that I'm now able to come before him to worship. And every day of my life, in fact, I am dwelling in the presence of this holy God. What does it mean? Oh, surely it means that I have to be very careful with my doings, isn't it? Be careful with my ways. Oh, the Lord is a great king. In other words, he is sovereign over my life. He's also sovereign over the entire world. What does it mean for God to be sovereign over my entire life? And so first, he comes with this deep understanding of whom God is. And the more we meditate upon it, the more you realize, oh, God is so big, I am so small. And that should really cause us to tremble, isn't it? Tremble. So therefore, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, please understand that it's not just some theoretical, ishy-wishy, nebulous kind of feeling. No, but it is something that must really stems truly from our understanding of whom God is. And of course, this understanding, once again, must be based upon the scriptures. When we have this fear, the Bible tells us, well, this fear is the beginning of wisdom. Because why? It would lead us to submit ourselves to him and then to obey him. This fear will lead us to be very careful because we know that one day we will be accountable to him. Right? So it talks also about accountability. Accountability. One day we will all need to stand before him and then you'll give an account of everything that we have done in this body. And same with regards to this congregation. One day the Lord will also hold us accountable for everything that we have done here in this congregation. And all of us have a part to play in it. All of us have a part. The fear of the Lord. If we truly have a sense of what it means to fear the Lord, do you notice that a lot of things that we are doing from day to day we would not have done? The kind of words that we say to people, the kind of entertainment that we pursue, even the times of laziness that we indulge ourselves in, a lot of things we would not have done because we know whom the Lord is and that we will have to stand before Him one day with Him as a judge, giving an account of what we have done. Yes, this is the kind of fear that we ought to have. Then take note that this is the kind of fear that leads us to, once again, obedience, right? Not like the kind of fear which the devils have. They tremble, but in the end, I still don't want to kowtow to Jesus. I still don't want to submit myself to Him. I still want to rebel. But this is, again, something that will lead us and drive us to the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Please show me what you want to do. What you want me to do." And when you have such a fear in your heart, and I pray that this will be something that you are devoted to, like wholly devoted to the Lord's fear. Every day in your life, let us pray that the Lord will give us a sense of what it means to fear Him. Then when we fear Him and we truly kowtow ourselves before Him, that is where the Lord says down here, "Him shall He teach in the way that He shall choose." Because this person who fears the Lord, he will live his life in a total surrender to the Lord. "Yes, Lord, I know who you are. I can only give myself to you." And the Lord will lead him step by step, and you will realize that the result of such a person who says, "Teach me thy way, teach me thy way." And so therefore you have the teacher, you have the student, then you have the fruit. What will be the fruit of his life? You look at verse 13. "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." Yes, his soul shall dwell in ease. Why? Because now he knows the will of God in his life, and his whole heart is committed to following it. There is this certainty in his life, isn't it? An assurance. And he knows that in the end, he will be with the Lord in heaven. And he knows that he is abiding in the path that pleases God. Because his mind is stayed upon God, therefore he will have this peace. His soul can now therefore dwell in ease. I know that there will be nothing in this world that will be able to destroy my soul and to take me away from my Lord. My life is safe in the hands of my everlasting Father. He knows that so long as he walks in the pathway of righteousness, in the way in which the Lord directs him, that there will be no reason why the Lord would want to go against him, isn't it? Because the Lord's desire is for his will to be done. And so therefore his soul will be at ease, because I know I am walking in God's will. I know that this is his way. And so long as I walk in his way, I know that he won't be against me. But in fact, the Lord has promised me that he will not forsake me. He will protect me. He will deliver me from all ill until my time on earth is up, and then I will be forever with him. And so you can rest easy in this understanding that we find, this teaching that we find here in the Holy Scriptures. Sometimes people ask, how can I know the will of God in my life? What to do? To go where? To do this? To do that? How can I know? Of course, sometimes the Lord wants us to wait upon Him, to pray, and in God's time He will show His ways. But sometimes there could be another reason why the Lord does not reveal all these things to us. And thereby our soul becomes full of unease. And the reason is simply because, well, we are not meek. We are actually proud in our hearts. We actually want our own way. And all we want God to do is just to rubber stamp. Oh Lord, this is my plan. Please put your stamp here, okay? Stamp. Right. Like how some people will present to the CEO, and some CEOs, they are lazy even to read what their workers have written. So you just write your own plan and then say, hey, boss, this is the plan. Okay, stamp, go. That's not how you should treat God. You don't even fear Him. Your life, you are dwelling in sin. And then you expect God to show you His way? First, resolve your sin. First, resolve your pride. Humble yourself before Him. And when you humble yourself before Him, the Lord here promised you, I will teach you my way. Step by step, step by step, I will reveal it to you. And you don't even need to worry. You just follow in my perfect timing, I will show it to you. And you rest assured in this knowledge, and you walk, your soul will be in peace. Your soul will be in peace. And when you walk in the ways of the Lord, look at how powerfully the Lord can use you, because here the Bible says, and His seed shall inherit the earth. In other words, the Lord here says, right, via David, for a person who has the Lord as his teachers and is willing to follow Him, the Lord can use him so much so that his family will also know the Lord. His family will also abide in the ways of the Lord. And one day, Himself and His family will be there upon the earth, reigning together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will inherit the entire earth. The Lord will use you to be a blessing to others. Firstly, immediately to your seed, which is what I believe many of you are concerned, isn't it? Especially if you are fathers, you are mothers, you are very concerned whether or not your children will know the way of the Lord. Well, here is the secret. Here is the secret. You just simply follow the Lord. And then the Lord says, just dwell in ease. Just let me handle everything. And here, your seed will one day also inherit the earth together with you. You will be together with Christ. This kingdom belongs to you. How wonderful, isn't it? And that is how we must go. Just simply follow the Lord, and then the Lord can use you. This is something that you will need to experience for yourself in your life. You want to know the Lord's will? Just obey His word. Just obey His word, and then the Lord will guide you. That is why sometimes people ask a lot of this question, oh, how do I know how to find a wife? How do I know how to find a job? How do I know this? How do I know that? How do I know which course to choose? Just simply obey God's word, and then let the Lord lead. And then, when the Lord leads, the answer will be so perfect. You know, nothing can stop you. You know exactly this is where the Lord will lead you. This was exactly the experience recently of somebody who was participating in the Nanyang Poly FCM study group. You know, he was taking a course in Nanyang Poly. But after that, this course is a course that leads to a degree. Then after that, NUS wrote in. They invite you to come for the course. Hey, what should I do? What should I do? What is God's will? And then he become very perturbed in his heart. And then his parents also talked to him. And he was wondering whether he should listen to his parents. Well, how should this person handle? Well, just simply follow God's word. Just continue to be an obedient Christian. Love the Lord and pray, and slowly the Lord will reveal. And you know also from God's word, honor thy father and your mother. So you should give what your parents are saying due consideration. Yes, sometimes, of course, the Lord may be leading somewhere that is different, but at this point of life, well, your parents are also present to give you good advice. Right? God appointed them to give you good advice, and his parents were also godly Christians. And so this young man took heed, and lo and behold, he did not need to wait long. Suddenly, NUS said, okay, door closed. His parents actually didn't want him to go NUS. Interestingly, wanted him to go Nanyang Poly. Door closed. And now he's very sure. He said, oh, praise the Lord. And he's very thankful. Then he now says, hey, sometimes having one choice is better than many choices. Yeah, true also. So now he just simply prayed, just obeyed the Lord, and continued to work hard because he was attending the Nanyang Poly course, and then this NUS offer came in. He did not slack in his studies and everything, and bore a good testimony. Then the Lord showed him his way. And all along his soul was at ease. He knew that he was in the will of God. And this is the same for all of us. Same. Just simply obey God's word. Just let him be your teacher. And he will show you. This is something you must experience for yourself. And this is something that we as, not only individually, but as a congregation in Tabernacle PP Church must also adhere to. Right? During the anniversary, we talk about how the Lord has granted us an open door. Also, right, throughout the years, the Lord has preserved us, had mercy upon us. Then what about the future? It's the same. You just simply follow the word of God. Just simply acknowledge the Lord as the teacher and obey him. And when we do so, well, the Lord will help. Now, does that mean an absence of trouble, absence of problems, absence of difficulties? No. Right? Remember that when David said all these things, he was in the midst of all these difficult circumstances. And we know that in the life of David, right, there were large periods of time whereby these difficulties do not seem to go away. And that may also happen for us in Tabernacle PP Church. Difficulties may still be there. But because we know that this is exactly what the Lord wants us to do, and this is what is pleasing to the Lord, our soul can dwell at ease. And then the Lord can use all of us to be a good testimony for him here in this world. Pray especially for all of you who are parents, that firstly to your own children, and the Lord will help you to be a blessing to your children, and that your children will also grow up to love the Lord. That is my desire. I think that is also your desire. I hope all these young ones will grow up well. But that can only happen if we are firstly committed to the Lord to be our teacher. Well, when we do so, there will be good fruit. So may we echo what we have learned today in this psalm. Teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, forgive us for those times where we have tried to seek our ways, where we have just simply presumed that our thoughts are better than your thoughts. But grant thy children a heart of humble submission to know that your ways are always better than our ways. Oh, how foolish for us to think that we can outwit thee. And so grant us hearts, Lord, that will always be submissive before thy truth, that will tremble before thy word. And we pray, Lord, that as thy people obey thy truth, that there will be rich spiritual blessings for us. So we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.